This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hordle, joined by the Triple OG, Woodham and Mason. OG, it is round 10 preview time, but I want to start this podcast with a DM that I got on Instagram. He followed us onto Levels as well, regarding the drip that is still here. It's obviously been raining in Sydney all week, torrentially, on and off. Hey, bro, love the new app. Every 7 seconds, there was a water droplet, and it was a 7,636-second podcast. So there was 1,048 water droplets into the bucket. Keep up the...
Thanks for your maths, mate. I hope you didn't fucking count them all.
I didn't check it. I didn't check it as in, like, I haven't used the calculator to determine if that is indeed correct. But appreciate the detail, James Wilson.
I didn't even notice one.
I actually
fucking didn't notice it at all.
Once we get into it and once we start talking, I sort of didn't
definitely
notice
not.
As well. One thing I did notice, mate, our origin teams, very controversial to some.
Yeah.
Very topical, and it just shows the beast that Origin is and how everyone who loves rugby league is the best Origin selector.
And they don't pick it diplomatically, right? Because if they've got fucking favourite players, right? Just say Parramatta.
Yep.
Where's RCG? Where's Gutho? Where's Paulo? Like, more players? I'm like, dude, we're trying to pick a New South Wales team. Yep. You fuck about your Parramatta players or Titans players or wherever they are in the comp. So when you write to me, I don't give a fuck about your comments, first of all. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to swap my mind. Like, I told you guys, like, it's fluid, right? It's going to change every time. And I didn't put any thought into the bench, right?
Okay.
It was more the 13 in the bench because the bench is going to rotate a heap.
For sure. You might have some starters in your team that end up on the bench.
Exactly. Right? You know, I'm waiting for Junior Paulo and a few other players to play their ways in there. Like Matt Burton. He's in the top. We've got a top. If you pick a top 20, Matt Burton's there.
Yeah.
So is Fox. So are all these guys that we haven't put in the starting team. That's how people pick their teams. You got a board of about 25 or 35 players. People come in, people come out. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So we're doing that from round fucking one.
Yeah. If you were picking a team from today now and narrowing it down, what do you reckon the number, what would be your squad number, you reckon?
I'd have 22.
22? Yeah. You've got about 22 players you like?
Guys like Lomax and Fox and RCG and all these other guys come into calculations.
Yeah.
Because only 17 that we're picking there.
Yeah.
Easy can pick another five. And that's how you pick origin players. You've got to have 25 to 30 players that fit into 17.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And then there's injuries that happen as well, just like what happened with Cam Murray, where we both had – you had Cam Murray starting, didn't you? I had Isaiah Yeo, but I had Cam Murray on my bench, and I found it hard to replace him. That's when I ended up putting Matt Burton in just because I wanted someone with versatility where – originally, I had Cam Murray, and he was there as my swingman to cover centers
Even
for me.
Even Jack White. We didn't have Jack White, and I'm probably nearly pushing Jack White for that left center spot. Whoa. Him and Bradman Best. They're going to go off for it. They're my two left centers, and if Luttrell is killing it in the next 3 weeks, he's going to come into calculations.
Yep.
So that's how it's going in my
Jack
White
head. Is a big one.
Jack White, he's built for Origin.
Correct, yep.
And I'm not sure, has he said anything about the rep career?
Well, he was retired. I'm led to believe. Well,
he's back on the market.
Well, it was maybe not reported, but the view was he was super frustrated with Freddie.
Yeah, I heard that.
And maybe his role with New South Wales in the past. So I don't know. The relationship that Madge would have with him, being an assistant coach at Canberra for 2 years, could probably sway Jack White if he was to decide to come back out. But I think there would be a lot of people going, Jack White, and it's definitely not the reason Souths are losing, but their form isn't great.
Yeah, Jack's playing so good.
I was heavily criticised, obviously, for my Luttrell pick.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Matt Burton and Kenny on the bench. But was there anyone that swayed you? Was there anyone like...
Jack White swayed me. Yeah. I'm either going to start him at six or put him on the bench. Or put him at left center. He's in the 17. He'll be in the 17 when it comes to like two weeks, round one.
Okay.
Game one.
Because
I think he's just built for Origin. I just forgot about him totally because South has been down the bottom.
Okay.
And then I was just thinking subconsciously that he's out of the rep seat.
Yep. Because not subconsciously.
Because he said it. And I'm hearing rumors that look, he wants back in and all this sort of stuff. So I'm like that. And then other forwards, you know, I'm thinking Ola Kawatu might sway me a bit in the next 2 weeks because he needs to.
He's missing this game and then he's back the week after.
Yeah, and that's fucked him because the week before that he only had the ball 7 times. And then he gets sent for 10 and he was a bit off and then he's like missed 2 weeks. So that's big football for him.
The hard part with Olakau'atu and Stefano Ikimanu, they have had legitimate like 9 or 10 games, maybe like 3 to 4 of those games in the opening 9 rounds. But they've had a couple of 5s and 6s.
Yeah. See, Reg could sway me in the next couple of weeks as too.
Yeah.
Reed and Campbell-Gillard. Because he was in that he was in Origin last year. Same as Paulo.
Reggie was really good in game 3.
In game 1, we need to get this game.
I think
it's so important, man.
Junior was in game 1 and potentially 2. No, he got dropped. He only played game 1 last year, remember?
Okay. Yeah.
And then Reggie played really well in game 3 with Jacob Saifidi.
It's just hard to understand where Madge is coming from. I know he wants just players who love that jersey. And I'm just thinking that everyone loves that jersey.
Mm.
You know, like, does he just go fully against what Freddie's built? You know, because you have a look at that last 6 seasons, we could have easily won at least 4 or 5 out of 6.
Yeah, a few injuries go, like the Turbo injury in particular, that led to Cookie playing in the centres. He absolutely got dusted. The health of certain players, Latrell hasn't been fit. When both of those guys were fully fit, they looked super dominant. Mm. So I don't think, you know, you'd know it better than me because you've had conversations with Madge, but I'd assume that Madge is, from what I've seen over the years, he's going to be fairly even keel with this, and he's not going to just...
He's just going to pick players like proper dogs to get in that side, like guys who bleed for that blue jersey. Everything that he's picked, he's got a criteria.
Yep.
You tick all that,
okay,
you'll get in.
Yep.
And I'm not sure where he's sitting with a Cam McInnes. I think Cam McInnes was very close a couple of years ago.
So that's been reported.
He's a 9 or he's in the 17 somewhere if he keeps playing like he's playing, and well-deserved as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure where he sits with Crichton, you know, Liam Martin, all the Penrith players. You know, maybe that could be a problem in the last couple of years.
I think the Angus Crichton, similar to the Roosters, he would have been out of contention 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But with his form, I think similar to the Roosters, they would be reconsidering re-signing Angus Crichton, which we'll get to because we've got transfer news, which is probably the biggest news of the week. But then also... He probably wouldn't have even been close to in Madge's thoughts for Origin,
he's forcing you to look at him.
You can't deny his form.
No.
You can't deny his form.
Be interesting, but.
Yeah. With the Queensland team, there was one guy that I'm really close to putting in. I think if he has a really big game off the back of a really strong 3 weeks and all the noise around the Titans at the moment, AJ Brimson.
Yeah.
I think AJ Brimson could potentially be 14? My 14 or even centre. Depending on the health of Hamisou Tabuai-Fido.
Mm.
So he's missed 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. You know what hamstring injuries are like, Mace. If he comes back, he's not back this week.
Mm.
He potentially might not be back next week. That gives him 2 weeks to get a soft tissue injury ready and potentially be marking up against Stephen Crichton, Tom Trbojevic, Zach Lomax, whatever it may be, and his number one strength or the advantage he's got over everyone else is his speed.
Yeah. So if he can't come back to the park.
If he doesn't have the confidence to go on it, then potentially Brimo could be an option for me, left centre.
See, I think they put Tuolungi in and put Cobbo.
Cobbo at centre.
They mix that up. They put Cobbo back in and put Tuolungi because I think he's a centre.
Yeah.
Brimo's not.
And
he's either fullback or he's not, or he's 14. That's it.
I don't necessarily don't think Brimo can play centres. I just don't think he should be playing centres at the Titans.
He's just not he's not. I mean, he could do a job. That's Queensland's fucking problem anyway.
Yeah. But you don't want to talk about Queensland.
No. I don't mind Queensland.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Like, I think they're going to have a good side. They're going to have a very, very strong side. I think it pretty much picks itself. I don't think Queensland's that hard to pick. Probably one or two players that we got wrong. I mean, like, they're just a well-oiled machine. And I know how they pick, right? They pick and stick. They've done the job for them before. These guys aren't making a change until they lose.
I've a feeling Billy's got a couple of curly ones. That's my gut feeling. He made 2 big decisions last year. The ball was 3. Mm. Huge decision. Kalen, Reece over Kalen and sat Kalen for the first game. And then obviously Kalen thought at the betterment of his own health, he ended up sitting for the last couple of games. And then he also informed Dane Gagai and Josh Papali'i, and then were able to get on the front foot and actually retire from Origin footy. So those were big decisions as well, mate.
Usually Wales is the hardest one. There's so many to pick from. It's hard to find the balance. All we've got to do is find the right players to play for New South Wales.
And like I said, everyone's an expert.
it's pretty funny.
It is
the interactions.
It's so entertaining.
They just get so hell bent on like picking Edwards and picking these fucking players. I'm like, this is not how it goes. It doesn't go on form, people. If you understand, like Teddy's Australian captain, New South Wales captain, hasn't done anything wrong to play himself out. Mm. If he was playing awful right now, they'd be picking Dylan Edwards.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like you would hear like rumors going, he's had a chat with Teddy and Teddy's not getting picked because people can't shut their fucking mouths in this world.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, but he's going to get picked. I understand Dylan Edwards is playing lights out football for the last 3 years. He's just going to be a product of the generational talents that we have at fullback right now in today's modern day game.
You know, brought up a good point. Toddy Carney and Piercy were talking about it on that. They've been doing a show together every week well. And Toddy compared him to Jake Friend playing behind Cam Smith for all those years. Friendy was outstanding.
And McCulloch.
At the Roosters.
They were both like that. McCulloch and they ended up playing two origins each because Cam Smith wouldn't retire.
For sure. Like, and that's the nature of being stuck behind an all-time great, is Friendy probably would have, like, not necessarily locked down that spot, but it would have been in contention for most years.
He would have been toe-to-toe with McCulloch. That's because they both come up through the same era, about 2008.
Yep. And they probably would have paid about 5 to 10 origins each if Cam Smith didn't exist.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, 10 easy. 10 each. They would have been going at it. And then Cam Smith said, no, boys. Sorry.
Very similar. I think Jake Friend and Dylan Edwards are very similar in that sense.
Yeah.
Like they're just behind an all-time
great. How old's Dylan Edwards? Because he ain't – it's not like he's 22.
27, 28, I think.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, and there's some good ones that are missing out too. Another guy who was in a lot of people's teams, I think, and it's only because of injury now, is Ryan Pappenhausen. Like, a lot of chat around him potentially being in that 14 jersey. But we move on. Our rolling teams will be on Monday anyway, so Origin fever is already with us. But before we get to Origin, mate, let's get to the Magic Round. And to help us celebrate Magic Round, we will be heading to the Stock Exchange Hotel on the 18th of May. So save that date. It is a sad day. You can get into the venue from 9 a.m. with free entry downstairs. So me and Mace will be there from 9 a.m. But if you want to get an all-exclusive rooftop package up the top, which goes from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's $120. It's a food and beverage package as well. The highlights are a Q&A with myself and Mace. I'll basically be asking Mace a lot of the questions. There is brunch, which is, like I said, a food and drinks package. And there will also be a live panel with myself and Mace hosting it. So come and see us at the Stock Exchange Hotel.
What time are we there from? From 9 to about 1, 1.30?
We're on at 9 and we'll be there until 1 p.m. So upstairs, we're upstairs in the package. If you buy the package for $120, so go on to Stock Exchange Hotel.
Just free beer and food?
Yep. Yep, there's a package. Nice. Food and drinks are included. So that's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So come and see us. Come say hi. We will be getting there on Thursday night and attending the Women's Origin. Looking forward to that. I've got the teams. Speaking of the Origin teams, a bigger mission that I'll get to a little bit later on as well, Mace. But then obviously we've got commitments Friday, sad day. It's a big weekend. There's plenty of magic to be had, mate.
Take your time.
All right. I just wanted to put a bow on this as well. Off the back of the chat at the start of the week around the referees, and this came out last night. I only just seen this morning. So I pushed it to the front because I just wanted to address this.
Get it over with.
Have a look at this, mate. I don't know if you're aware of this, but two off-duty police officers have been banned from attending any NRL matches in New South Wales.
What?
Stemming from an incident involving Ashley Klein at a Roosters game in April. According to the Daily Telegraph, a projectile was thrown towards Klein and other match officials as they walked off the ground following the Storm's 18-12 of the Roosters. It is believed two of the three are police officers who were off duty at the time.
Wow, that's disgraceful.
Yeah. Mm. Like, and so the reason I wanted to sort of address this to begin with, because I had my thoughts on it on Monday, I've been critical over the last couple of weeks of some decisions, but I've seen that Billy Slater put up
I saw a post
about, like, if you think you can do a better job, do it. I don't think that's the answer, even though Billy's one of my favorite guys to listen to.
Billy was talking with his heart there.
Of course, right? Yeah. And the respect of it. And when you see a story like this, it's fully understandable. But here's a few things. I'll put a few dot points on I think we can be better at. So obviously the respect for the roles of the officials, we understand that. Mm. But we can't – I think there's a small percentage of people in any sort of situation that are just over the top, shit house. But I think it's important to still be critical of the referees, the system, the officials, and try to get better. It's like as players, Mace, we had video every week because we needed constructive criticism. So my first point is Graham Annesley, he has to stop throwing his referees under the bus after every week doing those videos where he is basically telling us right decisions, wrong decisions. How hard that must be for the referees when they make a poor decision and they get hammered.
He doesn't back them home.
And then he highlights on Monday that they did make a wrong decision. I'm all for him either punishing the referees or critiquing them in-house. But stop doing it and giving the fans more opportunities to get frustrated with a result that
has done. What it's done is done. Don't tell us it's wrong.
Exactly.
So silly.
Or tell us it's right for, you know, whatever it may be. Or
we lost the game. Fuck, who cares?
He didn't get set. Yep. Keep all that in-house. Another thing that the players need to get better at, and I was really good at this, and I know playing with you, Mace, you're really good with this as well. The respect that we had for the referees, but also I was – you know, as I got later on in my life, I started using this bit of a strategy. Yeah. I felt like I could get more 50-50 calls if I had a good rapport with
Cameron
the referees. Cameron Smith.
The king.
Chez is really good at it.
Fucking great. You can't be at the refs all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I knew. They used to be my friends, man, on the field. You use them as much as you can. Then you're like a little offside. They're not going to call you if it's a little 50-50.
Well, you think
play
so,
the
right?
game.
Subconsciously, my thought around it was, one, that's just the nature of who I am, but also, like, deep down I used to use it as quite a strategy because there was examples where I knew that, you know, when it's like middle tier to players that are not regular first graders, quite often they get pinned for penalties that sometimes stars don't get.
Yeah.
So for me, because I built a good rapport with the referees, I'm not necessarily saying I got off with shit, but I felt like it favoured me in 50-50 calls that are really hard.
I'm not sure what the vernacular is with the referees to the players these days because of microphones, right? Mm. You can't be all fucking friendly because most of the time, referees are good blokes, right? They're actually just knock-around blokes. They're just exactly like us. Just couldn't play the game.
Good chicks. Blokes, what's the blokeheads?
Blokes, women, everything like
blokes,
that.
Blokes, blokeheads.
Like, but like you could talk to them on the field and it was fine, right? Will you get back on side? You're not going to get you next time. But you can't say that now because why? There's no next time. You fucking do it now because you're offside. They're the rules of black and white, right? Yep. But that's how they used to talk. It was fucking all right.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, with the microphone and everything like that, like just when the mics come in, I'll be like that. Why the fuck was that for? And they're like, microphone, you know what I mean? So I went through that whole evolution of refs being fucking super duper cool dudes, and then they're going fucking treating you like shit sort of thing, right?
What about to the point that I started with where, like, if just say you were trying to build a rapport with the referee and say something nice, they also probably don't want that getting picked up now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you can't – so you cannot, like, talk to them like you're a normal person, like when you could, like, in the early 2000s, right?
Yep.
You know, a couple of these refs, they're all retired now. We laugh about that sort of shit.
Yeah.
But obviously now the game is so professional. You can't – there's no interactions with refs.
There isn't, is
and
there?
And then the players don't really know how to talk to anyone anyway.
I think the – and this is my next point with them. Like I said, the answer is not to mollycoddle them, like, as in you still need constructive criticism to improve. I think – and I'm referring back to this as well. The main part of it is where the frustration is leading from the players. I think any rational person can understand that referees are going to make bad decisions, but I keep going back to the bunker decisions. That's where frustration comes into. And the bunker has been great for the most part, and we've 100% got more right decisions than wrong.
Yeah.
But when the obvious ones...
Yeah, that's when you're frustrated.
Like we've seen over the weekend, that adds to the frustration that then filters down to the field. So I think it's important that we make the bunker a specialist position. I reckon in this day and age now with the pressure that's on referees and everything that's associated with that, the referees need to be paid more. The bunker needs to become a specialist position. If we pay the referees more, because what do you reckon an average referee would be on? And do you think they're all full-time?
Fucks me, but you know what it is? Painful talking about these fucking people, refs.
they're a big part of the game.
Fucking
mate.
Hope. But I'm just like, it sucks. It shouldn't be that big a part of the game. I've never seen a fucking sport with referees being such a big part of the game. NFL, anything like that. I don't care. You wouldn't even know a fucking referee. These guys get back pages and shit like this in the Telegraph.
NBA is huge. Refereeing, officiating everywhere.
Yeah, but I've never seen a sport like this, AFL or anything like that, and give this much fucking game time to a referee.
Yeah, interesting.
Make the fucking right decision.
We'd
got all the toys in the world and we still fuck it.
Mm, mm.
Human error, oh yeah, I get human error, but when you've got the bunker, you shouldn't get anything wrong.
Yeah.
That's done. Players respect the refs, all that sort of shit. That's just fucking human nature. They just pay more respect to the referee. That's how it should be. And let the fucking game flow.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it's important, like, you can't just obviously throw darts and not come up with a solution. Yeah. So my thing is, pay the referees more. Therefore, increases the quality.
How much are they getting paid?
Yeah, what would you say? Do you reckon the
80
top
grand minimum?
Minimum. Yeah, I think.
I know they're getting paid.
I think, would you say the top?
I know Badge was on about 500 back in the day.
No way Badge was on 500. Fuck.
Lira.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you reckon Ashley Kleiner that would be on 250?
Yep.
Yeah. So therefore, whatever it may be, if you increase it, I think it increases the competition to become a referee, or gives it more incentive to
shouldn't
become.
Shouldn't it all grow with the game? The game's growing.
Yes.
You'd think the refs would go yep. with the players, with the whole, yep. you know what I mean? Everyone eats off the game. The referee should as well. They're a big part of the game. I'm not disrespecting the refs. I've got nothing but respect for refs. But I'm just like, I'm sick of giving it airtime and everyone's doing it. But it's like, dudes, it can't be that fucking hard. Go out there, ref the game. You're training to be a ref. You are a professional ref. I expect this shit at Coogee fucking Dolphins.
Mm.
You know what I mean? This is NRL level. Get to that level. That's yes. all we want as punters. We're consumers of the game. We love the game. Get it fucking right. You train every day. You're a professional referee. That's what you put on your fucking applicant if you're going for a job. I'm a professional referee. I don't just referee on the fucking weekends for a pie and a fucking coke.
Yep.
You're a pro ref. Get your shit sorted, Annesley. Get all your little troops. So if Annesley's like the referee's boss, right? Is he like the head coach of these guys?
Yes.
He should be fucking sacked. Do you know what I mean? Like just like Demetrio, he gets held at a high standard. All these coaches, let's call for this guy's head. No, I'm not fucking saying sacking, but like everybody's saying.
Sort of saying. Yeah,
but if he's doing the wrong job, get someone else in there.
Yep.
To control it. It looks like it's a fucking mess.
Yep. So circling back to finish off on it, do you agree with this? Is
love you, Annesley.
If you love you, GA. if you pay them more, then the quality improves and the competition improves.
I agree.
If I'm a ref at Coogee,
I just thought they would.
If I'm a ref refing the Coogee Wombats,
you're gonna get exactly.
And I know that by the time I get to first grade, one, I'm gonna get pizzled and hammered, but also
getting
I'm
that
gonna
paper,
120 grand. I ain't getting out of bed to referee on a Sunday morning. Whereas if I know that the top referees are on, just say
300-400,
I think 250 is a good number for them. 300, maybe they could be on more, whatever it may be for the top referees. I might take a few fucking derogatory comments on the weekend to know if I keep grinding.
Get off social media.
Because there's, mate, I look at the quality of the referee, and this is again, to finish off, Mace, and that's it. There's just not, there's none of them for me. There's no. I like probably Grant Atkins is my favourite, but he's obviously
G. Who's the guy the grand final?
Yeah, G. I think G's the main one.
He's the dude. He's the dude.
None of them are like a clear cut. Where I remember like
Bill Harrigan.
Bill was the man.
Annesley was good.
Annesley was okay.
Get Bill Harrigan to coach.
Yeah.
He's like the Wayne Bennett.
Did Annesley ref? Did he?
Yes.
Too?
Graham Annesley. That's why he's famous.
Yeah, that's right. He did too.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Same era.
Yeah, that's right. That's Bill Harrigan,
we need to get
the reason
Bill
I don't remember Graham Annesley properly.
Too.
Yeah, he would love it. All right, let's get to YouTube replies. This one's from JR. Glad to see Jerome Hughes get his flowers. Crazy journey. Was brought as the Slater understudy after playing one game each for the Titans and Cowboys. A 3-year gap between the two games. Yeah, he had a 3-year gap between, I guess, they booing for the Titans and then playing a game with the Cowboys. I never knew.
What was he doing?
That's a journey.
That is.
Yeah, that's why I want to put this in here. Then he gets beaten to the number one jersey by Drinkwater once Billy Slater retired. Then Drinky gets injured before the season started. So Jerome goes to fullback. Then he gets moved to halfback in round 23 after they got rid of Brody Croft, remember? That didn't work out for him. So Pappy can play fullback. Makes the prelims that year. Then wins the comp the following year. Made the famous Storm 7 jersey his own and has been a great halfback since. Great. What a journey for Jerome. Yeah.
3 years between for two games.
Yeah, it must have been.
That's enough to break anyone, man. That's resilience.
That is.
And that's why he's the player he is now, to go through all that sort of shit, keep learning, keep grinding. That's why he's a fucking gun.
It's a great story. If indeed that three-year gap is correct.
I think even it is right. Not, he played hardly anything before he got to Melbourne.
Yeah, but I just didn't – I assumed he just say he played
– maybe one or two injuries thrown in there.
Maybe he played like a game at the Titans, didn't work out. He goes, plays a game at the Cowboys next year, doesn't work out, and then he goes to Melbourne. I didn't realise it's like, fuck, he must have been playing junior systems in maybe Gold Coast or North Queensland during that
stint. He would have been young.
And I just wanted to highlight that for any youngsters that are watching us, the reason I love doing I say this all the time, I love doing the potty with Mace is because he's the one extreme where he was the super talented player, hit the scene early, dominant. I was a bit of a journeyman myself. Obviously, Jerome's a journeyman. There are so many different arcs for you to reach the NRL. It's just whether you're willing to put in the work, and Jerome has really done that.
Yep. Well done. All
right. This one's from Tio Atafu. It sort of looks like one word. It's hard when it's on YouTube because they don't it connects the names. It doesn't give us a clear distinction between the first and last names. But hey, lads, just in regards to the SG Ball Dragons, Loko Tonga was a junior bulldog at the Chester Hill Hornets. Imagine having both Seve and Tonga in the junior system.
Terry Lamb. That's Terry Lamb country, Chester Hill.
Is it really? Yeah.
The great bar.
So the guy
big Loko, Big 10.
Yeah.
Number 10, yeah. He's a specimen, man. Yeah. He's like that Willison kid, right? He's about 6'6".
Wow.
Fucking, he's got that build, yeah. If he gets more explosive, athletic. This is where coaching comes in, man. And Willie Talau is a great mentor and a great friend of mine. And I didn't realize he was the SG Ball coach. I thought he was a fleg. I thought he was a bit higher. Yeah. You know what I mean? I knew that he was doing that sort of age group, but I didn't know it was like 19s or 21. So he's got those guys humming. He's got about five or six gun Australian schoolboys, junior kangaroos in that system there. So St. George are fucking... They cultivate these young kids and train them properly and have the right mentors around them. They could have a couple of dudes coming from that SG Ball team that'll nearly skip fleg and go straight into their top 30 into first grade.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, because SG Ball, understand this, guys at home, is under 19s now. That was our fleg.
Yep.
So they used to pick from fleg, you jump reserve grade, get into first grade.
Yeah, if you were.
But fleg is under 21s now.
Yep.
Okay. You know, so 17s is Harold Matz, and then 19s is SG Ball, 21s fleg. And then you got reserve grade and then NRL. So there's a fucking pathway there for you if you're in the system, if you work hard.
You think these kids are going to skip and go straight to New South Wales Cup?
I wouldn't waste time in 21s. What are you doing? Just put them straight in reserve grade and then feed them straight through. They're 18, 19 men.
So you're not surprised that Willie Talau, of all people, got some dogs.
He got some dogs.
He got some dogs.
He knows. He told me the game plan too, and I was like, oh, I fucking knew it. Because there's a big difference. Because we've got a lot of young kids that just turned 18, right? 17, 18. We've got about six or seven kids, right? In the starting team, they've got about six or seven kids that are 18, 19.
Yeah, okay.
That's a big difference in strength. One more preseason, one more year together as a brotherhood, and then that's how you filter off into the big world.
So you're confident the boys can run it back next
year?
Yeah,
they'll run it back. They will. You know, they end up playing some really good football, and you know, another year of coaching, another preseason, you see these kids grow into young men.
Yep.
That's the beauty of pathways, and you're watching them grow and then hopefully get into that first grade system, and they're all ready. You know, that's what Ciro wants, that's what Gus wants. That's why, you know, myself, Roy Satasi, Marco Milis, and fucking Josh Jackson are all down there trying to cultivate these kids to get them up through the grades so they're ready, right? Been throwing kids up there, they're not ready.
Josh Jackson's obviously...
And Steve Turner, zip, zip.
Yep, zip, zip. Josh Jackson, Steve Turner, these guys, can you see them progressing through the ranks?
I think they want to.
Yeah.
I think so. Like, they did some really good jobs, man. Like, they've been in the system for a little bit. Josh Jackson just finished playing 2 years ago.
It's so good to hear these names that you mentioned, like Willie Talau even. People don't know, Willie Talau was a gun, fucking man. Dog, man. Yeah.
He
was at the back end of his era, was like when you guys were coming through.
Yeah, I caught up with Nigel Vungana and Willie Talau like last week because Nigel's over here for just having a few meetings and stuff like that.
Yep.
It was just sitting there. We sat there and talked, right, from 9:30. No one looked at their phone from 9:30 to 1 o'clock.
Yeah, wow.
And we just sat there at the East Village over at Zetlin.
Yep.
Had coffees and just us three and the people come over. And I was like, fucking 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
I've got to get out of here, you know? Yeah, but we sat there and genuinely talked like brothers and that just for so long. It was refreshing.
Yeah. Right?
Just to hear, you know, different perspectives and everyone on their own little journey. So it was good, man.
So good. So good. Couple of fucking proper OGs, man.
They were my OGs coming through.
Yeah, they were. What a centre pairing, those two.
Oh, were. Mate. The amount of shit they used to talk, mate, especially to Leo.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Oh, was he really good on the chat?
Very good on the chat. But Nigel's like the best. Like, we always used to go left.
Yeah.
We never used to go right because Nigel's scoring 20-plus tries a year. 2001, 2003. He was Dally M Centre of the Year.
Five of the best in 2002?
Yep. Then Talao goes, only go left because of Nigel. Both New Zealand centres for those 3 years.
So good. So
both very dominant players.
I loved them,
man.
Both growing up, obviously, especially when they represented the Kiwis.
Yeah, because they would rip in. Like, you run into Nigel, man. Like, we're just talking about, like, how friendly everyone is, like, with each other. And it's like,
because of social media.
Yeah, I said because of this shit.
Yeah.
I said even though we knew each other, Nige, a test would be fucking brutal.
Mm.
And like, just say me and Sonny would go at it. Me and like Talao or Roy and that, it wouldn't care.
Yeah,
it was, and we were training together.
Yeah. You were outnumbered in those Bulldogs team, weren't you? With all like the Kiwis that played for
you. Utah, Nige, Talao. It was about 6-6.
Braith
Paul Rahihi.
Poor Rahihi.
That was only amount of time. About 2002, 2003, 2004, I was probably the only sort of, and then me, Ogre, Pricey. Ogre.
Yep.
Bobcat was sort of in and out.
Yep, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's
Willie Tonga around about that time.
Okay, yeah, sorry. There's
but it was even. That's why we'd come back from Origin
and
be fine.
Yeah.
We'd have like half the Kiwi team would be like representing us.
You were legitimate like the Panthers now.
Legit,
where like the
legit,
whole team
like there was
represent.
Like from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we would have like anywhere between fucking 8 to 10 in our reps in the rep scene for all those years.
Just the same as Penrith when they play in the World Cup, you pretty much got the whole team but Dylan Edwards and Luke Patton playing.
I always compare Dylan Edwards to General.
Yeah.
Because General was a fucking gun.
Yeah.
Played in an era where there was just so many guns, man.
Yeah.
And at fullback, the fullback era has not stopped for the last 20 years. We have had Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer at that one position in Queensland team, New South Wales and Australia and New Zealand. It's just that era, man.
Yeah.
Golden era fullbacks.
You know what? Fullback is just one of those
fucking hard
positions. Even think about just before, like in the gap of that too, then you still got obviously Billy who dominated and took over that Australian jersey. But you had Hainsey, GI. They were moved to different
Mini, Minicello.
Mini, Snake.
Carmichael Hunt.
K, far out.
He changed the game, Carmichael Hunt, man.
Benny Barber.
Carmichael Hunt changed the game.
Matty Bowen.
Yeah.
We've always had gun fullbacks, eh?
Guns. Absolute guns.
No, what? Because I reckon, you know, you've always got these, and they're always obviously fit, good looking, popular because they're scoring tries. It's the position that every kid wants to play, isn't
it? How does the Roosters go from having a Minicello full Italian, Aussie Italian, to Tedesco? Yeah. Two, like, Hall of Fame players in 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, they just have not missed.
Getting the like the Packers getting five into Rodgers. Getting two like elite
Snake
players.
Snake into Turbo.
Yeah,
that's
Snake
fucking
into Turbo.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
Like for those two blokes, they're nearly overshadowed by Turbo and Teddy.
I'll double down on that. To have Snake and Gift and then go from Jakey to Turbo. Not only do they get the fullbacks,
right.
They get the double.
That's
they get the two
easily.
Brothers.
Easy, I forgot about
it.
Yeah. Oh, Jake the Snake.
All right, this is one. I always like one left of field, right. and I'll throw it out. Yeah. So this one is regarding Golden Point, and we didn't have a moment like this. It's just I like this one. This one from Sully D. In the NHL extra time, it goes from 5-on-5 to 3-versus-3. Would you be for or against dropping players in Golden Point for the NHL? So he goes 13 from
10-on-10
to 9-on-9. I think going to nines is too far.
Yeah.
But I'd go potentially down to 11 if it meant we...
I'd even go to 10. I'd just go to 10.
Go straight to 10?
Go to 10s.
Yeah, in Golden Point to get a more attacking creativity at the end of the game.
I like that. I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's you just bunker down when it comes extra time. Everything's in. Push all your cards in. Just bust your ass. And it's still hard.
Mm.
Can you imagine you've got 9 in the front line?
Yeah. What about going from 13 to
one
11
marker.
For the first 5 minutes? If there's still no
take
result,
one off every minute.
Go to the second 5 minute stint, go to 9.
But I just think you just say you got, not take one off every 2 minutes.
No, so
3 minutes?
5 minutes is fine. So go from 13 to 11. If we don't get a try in the first 5 minutes like they normally do, then there's an extra 5 minutes. So then drop down to 9. You'll have a try
something
in that
like
5 minutes for
something
sure.
Something like that,
yeah.
I think it'd be a lot more exciting for fans.
Yeah, I think it would be exciting.
And I think like Landis is that dude who can
set it up in the off season.
Not in round 11.
Yeah.
Can we?
Pardon, who would you drop?
Fucking hold the middles and just have your ball playing lock in the middle the whole time. Keep the back line. Keep your fittest guys in the middle. Keep your 9 and your 13.
I think
hold back line.
So here we go. If you were to drop to 11, I think definitely drop one front rower. Like if you're your least mobile, no, you still need some punch, I think.
Yeah, so there's your modern day lock. You can go all right with that, man.
But if you are to take the field goal in the 11-on-11, you probably still need that big Tino. You need Payne to get a quick play the ball.
It just depends who your props are. Okay? Just go to that.
For sure.
If you've got Payne Harsh, you're leaving him on.
Of course.
If you've got two other blokes.
If you've got Dave Clemmer, he's off.
Yeah. Just, off. Just play to your cattle, right? Yeah. Just get the fucking guys that you don't think that can make a difference.
Sam Hughes, off.
Yeah. You're going to just go leave Payne
Harsh. Mudders Curran, on.
Payne Harsh, Carrigan, you stay on. Yeah. Everyone off.
Yeah.
Leave the back line. You know, that's about it. You're not going to move too much. But just the middles just to spread it all out. But I don't mind that idea. It's something that should be possibly looked at.
Yeah. I think I would go.
It'd be more fun. I'm just thinking as a spectacle, right? Imagine that in Origin.
Yeah, I like it. Oof. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, traditionalists would hate it. But I think it would be entertaining.
Traditionalists are disgusted at it.
They hate
absolutely
everything.
Absolutely disgusted at it.
I thought this was America. I thought this is Australia. I thought this is then around. All right.
It's rugby league.
Mate, let's get to some transfer news. So this has been developing all week. I believe we are recording this, at 8:30 p.m. So by the time you see this, there might be some new news on it. I'm actually just going to refresh the news to make sure.
We said that Fifita would be seeing the Roosters, right?
And You did toss that up. That was you said
that'd
that.
Be
not
silly.
Me.
Be silly if he didn't. And this Roosters would be silly.
Yeah. So a few questions off the back of it, and this is what I've seen develop over the. It's been reported that the Titans are almost come to the realization that he's leaving, no matter what. It seems to be the Panthers that are favorites and the Roosters next, but they're both playing it down like. Neither are favourites. Mm. So I guess one question we both saw it as a positive for both David Fifita and Penrith. Now, the concerns that some people have had is obviously due to the development of the juniors at Penrith that has been so successful for them. Can you see a player like David Fifita potentially upsetting the apple cart out there at Penrith by being a $850,000, $900,000 player when they've all, over the past 5 years, 6 years, have not splurged on a big free agent?
No, I think you can. And I think you'd only go for David Fifita. If there was anyone else on the market right now, you're not really looking at him. But because he's an anomaly. He's a once-in-a-generational player.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's why this is a big deal. It's round – like, look how special these little things have to be. It's got to be round 10. He has to decide whether he wants to leave. So you'd be silly not to have a crack at it.
Yeah.
Especially being Penrith, who's just gotten players taken, developed, taken. You know what I mean? Maybe they can get one back. But I know that's part of the system, right? You develop these players and that's what happens to Melbourne. That's what happened to all the great teams. You just – cherry pick all the good players.
Yeah,
they reach that potential. They've won competitions. Okay, well, what else can you do? Unless you're a local kid and they sign you to like Cleary and Yo and all these sort of guys, are going to stay there forever. All the other guys are going to be because of the salary cap. It just evens things out. This is just part of the beast.
It's a once in a decade situation or half a decade situation, is specifically for Penrith, who have not been able to even be in the market for players like this. It's only because they recently sort of got blindsided by Fisher Harris and obviously then before that couldn't retain the services of both Taruva, who they wanted to keep for probably a more humble number than he's currently on, and then obviously Jerome. So they probably wouldn't even been able in the position to get Dave Fifita if it wasn't for a couple of guys that deserved upgrades or
100%.
Specifically with Fisher Harris change of scenery to go home for compassionate reasons.
He had another 2 years. I didn't think Fisher was going to leave. And then all of a sudden, one of the biggest animals on the market comes in. You've got to have a crack. Look at everybody now. They're all shitting themselves because everyone thought Penrith was going to come back to the park without Fish. Mm. And then this guy is going to go there.
Some more criticism around David Fifita that I've seen is his inconsistencies at time, right? When they speak about a couple of years ago when he wasn't playing all that great for the Titans.
Mm.
I will say that for those who aren't aware of Yeah, he wasn't playing great footy.
22 years old.
He was, respectfully again, we feel like this guy always cops trades office, but he was playing outside of Tanner Boyd. Like, there's a difference between playing outside
and
of Tanner
on the right
Boyd
side.
And Nathan Cleary.
Yeah.
And you've seen how Kieran has unlocked him since he's been there in a short amount of time.
And that I think it's crazy to not think. Fermor was having a lights out season. Yep. He did in 21.
Yep.
And then he was stuck on the right, kick chasing, and just doing all the stupid shit that has to go on the right side and playing with Tanner Boyd.
And
there was no options for him. Like, that was one of his worst years. And then the next year, he scores 20 tries. And the next year, he becomes like who he is now. So, and that's what being a young kid and knowing how important you are to the team, right? He didn't know that. He was 21, 22 years old. He's a baby in the game. And they just put all that on him because of money, right?
Yep.
He's on 1.2. He should be able to do this. We'll put him in a position to do that.
Mm.
You know, now he's in position. In the last couple of years, last 18 months, he's been in a position to do that. He's giving you 15 tries. He's giving you 150 meters plus, and he's not even coached well. He's untapped, that kid. If he lives up to any of those expectations, he's going to be one of the best forwards of all time.
Yeah, it's crazy to think.
And he can play wherever he wants. I would float him everywhere. Mm. I would not put him any – I'll just – because Penrith has such a great system. I was trying to think back to when we were playing, when we had like myself and Sonny and Bobcat and Ogre and Roy all around the middle.
Yep.
And on an edge. The only one who kept an edge was Bobcat.
Yep.
Bobcat used to play left edge and defend at left four. We would all just fit in around the middle and right side and left side. It wasn't any positions for us. We just fall in. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be Roy and Ogre and myself in the middle. If Sonny wanted to defend on an edge, or I wanted to swap and defend on an edge, you know what I mean? We would do that easily. If Sonny wanted to come in and I'd go out, if we wanted to spot a right three up inside and outside of him, me and Sonny would do that. Rennie would do it on the other side. You can just work like that. You don't have to stay in your fucking lane all the time.
Mm.
When you get down in a defensive system on your line, yeah, get out to right four.
Yep.
But I can defend at right four. I can defend at left four. I can defend in the middle.
Yeah,
that's what you got to do when you're a forward. You can't just go, I play on the right side and I can't fucking go on the left.
Yeah.
Or I just defend on the left. I can't go right four. Learn how to fucking defend everywhere. And that's why these young kids can do that.
Yeah.
And he is a footballer, David Fitt. I just want him to attack wherever he wants, defend wherever he wants. You got Liam Martin and all these guys, Sorensen. He can defend he knows how to defend left, right, middle.
Yeah.
He's just a footballer. I don't want him on the edge.
He'll have a defined role. And it'd be interesting because without Jerome, I wonder if Nath gets even more on ball and then sort of floats around and tries to put David in his best position.
We want to replicate what he did in the last 18 minutes of that grand final every week. Not like to that for 80 minutes, but like I want to see that sort of footy from him. That's the best footy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
For fucking 20 years off a kid who's fucking 23 years old and he did that in the grand final. Mm. I want to see, like, if he can do that for 40 minutes, right? 40, 50 minutes every game, just have those opportunities to strike whenever he wants. That's when you'll see Cleary be that Mount Rushmore player.
It's a fine balance of also,
he didn't overplay his hand in 18 minutes. He just played footy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was playing on ball.
He wasn't just going, there's
pros and cons to having a really good Robin. Like, if you've got Jerome Luai, who is going to be your six, then it takes pressure off Nath. He knows he goes into games that he doesn't necessarily have to completely control the team. But then the con of it is you don't become that Joey potentially, where like Joey you always had a second fiddle, sort of ball running. Sean Rudder was a ball running six before, you know, especially when Matty had moved on. It's funny. It's a funny little balance to like, do you want that help or would you rather just be super dominant?
That's up to him. And I think that's the growth of Cleary, right? He's been blessed to be playing in one of the best systems of all time. Now, I think he's 25 years old, right? He's probably got another 10 years in him. He could take the fucking reins to any team, anything.
He is the system.
And want to do it, right?
Yeah.
All that's holding him back is his body sometimes, right?
Yeah.
He's had a few little injuries here and there, soft tissue. Apparently, he does too much. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, his work ethic and everything, like, he leads everything. And it's the best club to do that. You got your dad there. You got everyone there. You're a Penrith junior, all that sort of shit. So, yeah, if anything, they reckon he does too much.
Yeah.
Like, just slow down a little bit. You know, these soft tissue injuries are going to catch up. If you're getting them at 24, what are you going to do at 34?
Let's get back to one thing that we didn't discuss. We both were pumped for the Panthers, if it was to indeed happen, and David Fifita. The flip side is we didn't really talk about the Titans. Now, how would you feel being a Titans fan, member, coach, and specifically Tino in this situation? You're losing your big bopper. When you think of the Titans, you just think of how hard in particular, Tino's ripped in over the last couple of years as the skipper, but he always had his, you know, the big bopper next to him going, them two going hard. In some games, it was just like, it was evident that without those two, they weren't even going to be close in games.
Well, I'd be thinking if I was Tino, I've already won a comp, and that's probably the pinnacle. He's won a World Cup and he's won Origins. He hasn't won a grand final. So I'll be going, go down there for 3 years, get one, and then come back. That's all you can do as a brother and as a teammate, because you just got to support him.
Yeah.
Of course you'd be filthy. You'd be like, fuck, he's one of the best players in the comp and he's going. But you got to understand why he's going, because he thinks that fucking nothing's going to happen up here for the next 5 or 10 years.
Yep.
And he's probably right. If he's a player, like, the Titans aren't winning the next 5 or 10 years.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, so why can't he go down there and chase a ring or get a ring? He might be happy at Penrith. People don't understand it. Like, just say, when we always talk about it, when the shoe's on the other foot, when you want to get rid of a player because he's not playing good, then it's fucking, you know, it's all right for you, the club. But when a big dog like that wants to leave on his terms, now the loyalty card comes out. It's not fucking happening. Players don't give a shit. They're all about business and they want to get rings.
For sure, for sure. Especially if you've been in and achieved what Dave is without going over.
Yeah, the Titans come back 27, signed a $1.2 million contract with Brisbane or Redcliffe or wherever the fuck he wants to go. He just untied from the Titans.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Once he gets out of that contract, that doesn't mean shit that he's coming back. You think he's going to go back to the Titans with someone else, like the Roosters could offer him? Like, he's still going to be in his prime down here. You get used to Sydney.
I'm going to hit you with a different angle. I think even though he's been outstanding for the Titans, I think deep down it could be a blessing in disguise for the Titans. And they probably don't want to hear that right now because they're letting go of a fucking really good player.
I fucking 100% don't want to hear it.
But it's a chance for Desi to put his imprint on the team properly, completely rebuild around Tino, get some more. In my opinion, the Titans over the last 2 or 3 years have had talent. They haven't had toilers and workers. Now they can allocate that $850,000, $900,000 into similar, try to build a similar model to what Wayne's done at the Dolphins. Like, you're in this you're in the same vicinity, you're in the same area. Go find you some Max Plaffs, go find you some Ray Stones, get about 3 or 4 of those guys that you know are just going to fucking rip in, week out. And therefore, so when you do lose a guy like David Fifita, whether it be to the Panthers or just for a couple of games, you're not like...
your whole world's just done.
Yeah, like if they lose Dave or Tino, you look at the depth around the squad and it's just, it dramatically drops. So the Titans can now, Desi can go out there and start recruiting a few more toilers, a couple of guys, build around Tino. It's going to be a frustrating build because it's not going to happen overnight. But you've got a little bit more money to play with now. So like I said, I don't think Titans fans are probably going to agree with me or your average NRL fan, but...
I can see it's good glass half full.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the reality is they're going to struggle for fucking 5 years just because of this move here. And I'm like, you just got to wait for young kids to come through the development, like the pathways. You know, they're going to have a shitload of kids, man.
I don't think you have to wait 5 years, mate. Look
what are you going to get?
Look at what Ricky's done at Canberra with, you know, young kids that have come through. They lose Jack White.
But they come through the system. Like the Canberra system. Who there do you think's gone through the young Titans?
We didn't know who Ethan Strange was last year properly. Like, we didn't know who fucking Chevy Stewart was last year. They're in the system there. They're playing New South Wales Cup. They might be playing Queensland Cup. We just don't know who they are until they perform at first grade level. So it's an opportunity.
Titans, it'd be hard because
for sure. Yeah. But you've just got to, you know, you looked at different models. By no means do I think Canberra are going to win the comp. There's still a chance they don't even make the eight. But I'm seeing a squad built around when I, at the start of the year, had them as wooden spooners because they lost Jared Croker and Jack Whiten. Yeah. I thought it was the end of the world for the Raiders. Now I'm looking at it going, there's something building there. It's going to be probably come to fruition in a couple of years, but I don't think it has to take 5 years is my point.
I just think Titans are not known for developing young players. Just not. Canberra's built like that, man. They've got the infrastructure down there. Canberra's always got those people in recruitment. Consistent. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're talking about a whole different thing. Like, people down in Canberra, people on the Gold Coast, that ain't it.
Yeah,
they're not coming through the system like they are at Canberra.
But I've seen Desi do
it. Recruit a little bit more.
I've seen Desi do it at the early days at Manly.
You know what Des doesn't do? Recruit and put money into development.
Well, he did that at Manly in the early days. He brought through a system of young players that ended up becoming elite, won a couple of grand finals. Some of the players that are now at Manly are a function of his recruitment, the Olakuatus, the Kohlers that are now starting. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Watch, I think there could be some positive. Watch it. Watch it. Speaking of youngsters, Parramatta have a fight on their hands to keep rising star Blaise Talangi, with the talented backline star deciding to test his value on the open market. So listen to this, Mace. The Daily Telegraph reported he has failed to trigger his option. Oh, shit. Before we move on quickly, I just want to say this, put a little and this relates to what we're about to talk about now. If I'm in charge of recruitment or retention of players at a club, I'm taking clauses out of them. Mm. Off the back of this David Feeder and even this Blaise Talangi contract.
Yeah,
I don't care if I lose that player originally or are unable to recruit those players. It's worse when you think you have a player signed as a member, as a fan.
Like for Feeder now.
Like for Feeder. Sponsorships. And then see this shit going on because they haven't lived up to expectations. Fuck those clauses off. They're good for players. They're mad for managers. But if I'm
Love them.
If I'm a club, if I'm a coach, if I'm a CEO, if I'm a general manager, and the manager's sitting across me, yeah. I just want to chuck this clause.
I'm going to give you 10 games, guys, and if he doesn't like it, he's going to get out.
I'd say, you get out.
Get out now.
I don't care. We're not signing.
That's the management, right? But I'm not sure. They're just bowing down to powerful players.
Correct.
It's so hard. And the players, good on you. Do it all. Put the clauses in.
Yes.
Because it's all about player empowerment. I love it. But if you got bought, I mean, I don't think Penrith will be putting those clauses in.
No.
I don't think the Roosters don't do that.
I don't think so. You wouldn't
think so. Like, because they back the club.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, I just wanted to touch on that because
it's fucking crazy,
It relates to this as well. So the 19-year-old is now a free agent and is able to receive offers from rival clubs. So the Eels have offered Talangi an upgrade and an extension for next year and beyond yet. For unknown reasons, the Parramatta local junior has exercised the option regardless to test his value on the open market. Yeah. So
he's not happy.
He played centres in his debut game, played pretty well. Then he got moved to 5'8". That didn't quite work. Mm-hmm. He's now playing fullback for Gutho, who's missing some time. But if you're Blaise Talangi and you're looking at the back line, it looks to be there aren't players in there that are necessarily locks for any position.
Who's the centres? Penasini's one.
Penasini and Zach Lomax and Clint Gutherson are going to be the fullback and centre combination.
He's just not backing himself because of Zach Lomax.
Hmm.
He's like, well, this and that might be a sign from Parramatta going, well, we don't trust you either.
Yeah, true.
So that's how he's feeling as a young kid. He goes, well, aren't I that fucking next guy up? I'm a Parramatta junior. I'm 19. Another preseason. You go sign Zach Lomax. That means you don't want me. So I'm going to go somewhere else. That's exactly what's happened.
I think you're right.
You can't fucking sign a young kid who's 24 years old, who's got probably 10 years ahead of him, and then I'm a 19-year-old kid, and you do that to me, and I'm a local junior and everything like that, I'm going to get treated better somewhere else.
It's similar to Ethan Sanders, right? Because he would have been looking at Dylan Brown and Mitch Moses and going, those guys just re-up.
Where's my pathway? Then like you see a pathway, and then it gets blocked by Zach Lomax. So therefore, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's as simple as it gets. I'm a centre. You just signed a centre. You signed a winger who wants to play centre. Whatever it is, he's come to play centre.
Mm.
Definitely not wing.
It's crazy. Not crazy, but it's very interesting to me how you handle those situations and those relationships. Like if you look at the prime example for me over the last couple of years is there was a highly touted player and whether you view Jonah Pezzett as the next guy up for Melbourne Storm, there were teams that do envision him going on to play a long NRL career. But Melbourne being able to handle like the Pezzett situation and in particular the Farlongo situation by still having Pappy there and playing in front of him in first grade but still managing to keep those players is just, for me, it just stood out with this whole thing that's happening with Parramatta at the moment. It's very delicate. Like you've got to be...
Was Otu Ikemanu in the Parramatta system?
Yep.
So they've let him go. Like, how do you not see that guy as like a future front row for your club, right? You know, like they seem to lose players at this particular age, the 18, 19, when you've already developed them, you've done all the hard work, and then they seem to go to other clubs and just kill it.
I think
We took Willie Tong from.
Yeah.
Right? He was a 19-year-old kid. He come over, one of the best centers of all time.
Yeah.
But why? How the fuck did we get him? How was he on the market?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was at that age. You developed him. You got him down when you were 17, 18, 19, and he comes to us when he's 20.
You could argue that, like, how Newcastle let you go, though.
If I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
I wasn't played in first grade. He already played first grade for that club.
Yeah, yeah, he did too.
You know what I mean?
Like, Steph didn't play first grade for Parramatta, yeah. So that's
well, I can understand it from the 16, 17-year-old.
Yep.
When you get to the 18, 19, 20, like, you've done all the work.
So specifically Blaise Talanga, yes. Standards. Yeah,
yeah. And, yeah, and Willie Tonga and a few other juniors that come through that system.
Yeah.
Like, you've done all the work. Like, you've got him from 15. You got Willie Tonga out of Cherbourg at a 16-year-old kid, yep, moved him down, developed him, and then let us take all the credit.
Mm.
Oh, we didn't develop him. He was already like that at Parramatta.
Yeah.
He was that. He was that guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the fuck did we get this guy? We lost Nigel Vangana and got Willie Tonga. Like, it's ridiculous, right? Mm. Like, we shouldn't be able to do that. But it worked out well. But yeah. I'm just saying, but a lot of clubs seem to do that. Not just picking on Parramatta. A lot of clubs would be a shitload of clubs that 18, 19. Like, dude, you've done the work. You just got to put them in and cultivate them and get them through the system right.
Where do you see Blaise Talanga ended up? Do you think he stays at Parramatta?
No.
If he hasn't triggered that option, eh? I'm thinking he's off.
Well, he wouldn't even think about it. He wouldn't even think about this option. He would have just stayed at Parramatta. Yeah. He just thinks, well, what am I going to do here for the next 3 years? Stay and fucking play reserve grade, get played off the bench. Mm. This is what his manager and his parents would be saying. You can play off the bench every now and again. What are you going to be, a 14? You're never going to be a jack of all trades, master of none. Mm. By the time you get to 24, you played, what, 100 games or whatever, and you've played 50 or 60 off the bench, haven't solidified any position when you were a center.
Mm.
This is a big decision for him.
Yeah, can you play? Because you're right. Gutho's currently the captain.
How many years has Gutho got in him? 3?
What do you reckon?
He's Gutho. What, 28? He could be up there. Maybe he's near 30, isn't he, Gutho?
Tough one with Gutho is he's never really going to decline to that level because he's all heart sort of player. So it's not like he's ever...
And is Blaise Talanga your fullback, but...
He's 29, Gutho, and he's never relied heavily upon his physical traits.
Goer, man.
It's just he's a goer and he's fit.
And he's captain. He's the heart and soul of that team, man.
So you can't envision a path there.
No.
And if they just signed Zach for the amount of money and years, then he ain't going anywhere. They've still got really high hopes for Will Pennicini, and he's probably like the next tier down for centres.
Yeah. Are you going to be a good decision for him? Get out of your little safety blanket.
I think if I was him, I'd stay for maybe one more year and then...
You can't stay for one.
Just extend for one more year.
You're going to bite the bullet, man. If I was him, I'd advise him to go. I reckon he's had talks. He wouldn't even have tried to trigger this if he's not going.
Mm.
You don't test the waters out and then come back to Parra. Test the waters out and get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Wait, Roosters? Joey Manu's going next year. Suoliti's going next year.
Yeah.
Who's the next man up?
I thought that made sense, but his manager's Isaac Moses, and they just went through the Suoliti drama. So I think there's bad blood there, isn't there?
Well, you just... They'll look past that if it's worth it.
So Moses looks after Flano, Todd Payton, and Manly Seabold, and there's one more coach. So I'm looking at those teams in particular, like who could...
Yeah, that's what happens.
Cowboys? No. Dragons?
Maybe Dragons.
Dragons?
Just for his pathway, man. I think it's still the Roosters are still open, I reckon.
Yeah.
Only because I think they can look past
because it's the Roosters.
Because it's the Roosters and they need fucking outside backs.
Mm.
They're losing a couple of big dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So they'll put that aside, get a deal done, hopefully.
And they also missed out on another big dog, mate. Dane Gogo has reportedly snubbed an approach to join the Sydney Roosters on a 2-year deal. Instead, he's going to extend at the Knights for another couple.
Good on you, Gags.
It's a big blow for the Roosters as they aim to bring in reinforcements for Joseph Suaalii, Joey Manu, Daniel Tupou and Michael Jennings, all leaving next year. The Roosters will now reportedly turn their attention to Remus Smith from the Storm.
Be good to be a centre right now.
Mm.
Yeah. Gags is good, man. I love Gags. He came to Newcastle when I was there in 2012. We got him from Brisbane. He was like, he got sacked from Brizzy.
Yep.
A lot of little things that I know what happened up there. He was living in his car. He was really struggling. Then Wayne brought him down and he's just excelled. He just got that one opportunity and just took it. And he'd become one of the best centres up there, Queensland, Australia. He's had a massive run. And he can retire up there as a Knight.
He's playing good
family.
Footy too.
Yeah, he's still playing good, man.
Yep. I think even when they're losing games a couple of weeks ago, in particular, the two guys that stood out for me most games were Frizz and Gags on that edge, the physicality and what they're playing
and
we with.
We keep forgetting about when RTS was getting the ball. Who was the right side centre? Gags. He's a shutdown centre, man.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Yeah, like he's got one of those, his defensive fucking systems that he's been in. He kills. He's been in the Queensland system for so many years as a centre and as a winger. Like he uses that shit. He's still strong. He's still fast.
Is he a country boy, Gags? Because when I looked at the Roosters.
He's from Mackay.
When I looked at the Roosters, he's a Macktown boy. I looked at it and went, they need centers. He's got a combination with Dom Young already. Mm. It just made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. But he loves Newcastle. His wife's from Newcastle and his kids and everything like that.
Schools, all that.
So a lot of that would come into it. Like if it was 5 years ago, Gags would be signing with the Roosters.
Yeah, okay.
But he's 32, 33 years old. I know I've got 10 years on him, right?
Yeah.
So he'd be 33, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
You know, when he gets to retire up there, he'd be one of their greats at the end of the day.
All right. Let's move on to the teams have been announced, or the Sky Blues have been announced for Origin 1 for the girls, mate. They've got the three-game series this year. So congratulations to Emma Tonegade, Jamie Chapman, Jess Sergis, Isabella Kelly, Tiana Penitani, who's done some stuff for us before, Corbin Baxter, Rachel Pearson, Millie Elliott, Olivia Higgins, Caitlin Johnston, Yasmin Clydesdale, Kezia Apps, Keely Davis, Tully Fui, Moano, Olivia Koenig, Grace Kemp, Sarah Tokatuki, Jakai Whitfield, Kira Dibb, and Ali Johnston. A big omission, mate. No Southwell sisters. So Jessie Southwell.
Injured?
Nah, I think she just hasn't made the team. And even Kira Dibb.
They're picking these girls from, like, what competition are they playing in now?
There's a competition in Queensland where they're playing for.
They need to fix that shit up, man.
Yeah, I think
such a big part of the NRL and WNRL. Like, come on, man. They need to be playing, like, alongside the guys, right?
A lot of them – well, you can't have that.
Not alongside, but, like, the same, like, from round one to whatever.
Yeah, so there's a competition that they play, which is pretty competitive, I think. It used to be the Harvey Norman down here.
Mm.
Now that aligns at the same time as the NRLW season's on. So a lot of them go up to Queensland, and I think it's, you know, all the best players are basically playing up there.
But you know what I'm saying, right? They need to be like aligned with the NRL. Something like the rounds, right? Just be in that competition. I don't know, like not just be start at what, round 18?
The reason for starting it later is so they finish with the boys though. That's why it starts.
They need to play more games to get better. Like in that competition.
It's a slow process. They're not quite at the, in my opinion, I've watched them. They're expanding too quickly with the teams. Okay. This is a nice number. This is Grouse. They've got – so last year, it sort of just got sprung on them, the Origin schedule, and they hadn't had any training.
Okay.
I was listening to Yasmin Clydesdale talk to the Channel 9 team on Sunday or throughout the week, and they've actually done an 8-week camp. So they had had a squad number of 35 players that were actually playing games against each other, like in a post session to figure out who the team was.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then in Queensland, they've got a strong competition up there. So just a note, like there's probably not going to be a perfect system until they do get to the – I think it's probably still like 5 years down the road where they're able to play consistent footy for an entire season. But they're all just – their bodies are still getting used to it. But I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, let's get down to breaking down the teams, mate. Before we get into that, I've got – a juicy one for our Levels Bets Friend special for this week, mate. It's D-Day for me and it's D-Day for the Warriors. A really important game against the Roosters, a stacked Roosters team at Allianz, mate. So I'm on the Warriors plus 11.5. And we know how dominant the right side for the Warriors is. So I'm expecting to try to DWZ in the first 60 minutes. But also, Dom Young has been on fire since he has returned, and his whole career to date at the Roosters.
Fucking strong, isn't he?
Except for that one game against the Bulldogs where he completely lost his shit. I'm on the Warriors plus 11.5. Dom Young and DWZ to score in the first 60 minutes for $13 from the traders with a max bet of $25. All right, mate, let's get into breaking down the teams. Kicking it off, Dolphins at home. Suncorp Stadium, this one, to the Manly Seagulls on Thursday night. For the Dolphins, big inclusion. Herbie Farnworth is expected to play replacing the injured Tessie New. And also Kenny Bromwich is back from missing last week with concussion. As for the Seagulls, Ben Trbojevic will return with Lachlan Croker missing with a concussion. Therefore, Carl Lawton will start and Gordon Chan Kam Tong will split the hooking duties. It's good.
Nice.
It's good to see Gordy back in the team.
He's just like saying his name. I don't know what to do with the Dolphins, man.
Yeah.
I like Isaiah Katoa, man. That guy is freakish. Him and Nikarima, I like how they're playing.
Mm.
I just like it. And I fucking hate how Manly play sometimes.
Yeah.
He really got me last week. I was like, okay, well, they're going to be that. I want them to be a top four team, but they're probably going to be like 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, they'll be in that somewhere.
I agree.
And I think the Dolphins belong there as well. So I'm going the Dolphins, man.
The Dolphins are $2.10 favourites at Suncorp Stadium. Manly are $1.74. Still favourites despite the checkered form. And obviously I've got bias towards Manly. So I'm on Manly minus 2.5, but by no means am I confident. The line is indeed 2.5. Tommy Turbo has saluted for me. That's the one thing that's been solid for me from Manly in the last 2 weeks. I'm on Toby Trbojevic, anytime try scorer, at $2.25, and I'm on Manly minus 2.5. But I am not confident, so I'm only having $10 on each.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, the next game is your team, mate. The Panthers are at home to the Bulldogs. Nathan Cleary is back after sitting out last week just to manage that hamstring injury. Therefore, Brad Snyder is out, but he's also on the extended squad for cover. Paul Alamotti will come in for Isaac Tungo, and Liam Henry are the new faces in the side.
Nice.
As for the Bulldogs, Josh Curran has been named to start, but there was a swap on game day with Sam Hughes, so watch out for that
this week. Yeah, there'll be a few changes.
While Connor Tracy is also listed amongst the reserves as he's trying to fight back from a soft tissue injury as well. If he does indeed return, Blake Taff will probably shift back to the bench. Connor Tracy will start. The Tab have the Panthers as $1.17 favourites at home. The Bulldogs are $5. And the line is 14.5.
Dogs 13 plus. Wishful thinking. This would be a good game. This would be the Lipton's test for the boys, right?
Yep.
They've been good, man. Like, you know, probably disappointed they dropped those games against South and Melbourne where we probably should have, you know, probably taken the prize there. But, like, this would be like, fuck, Penrith at Penrith. They're pretty stacked, you know. Like, this will see where we really fit, right?
Fuck yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't want us to have a mentality going, yeah, we just try and be competitive. You know, fuck that. Go out there and play some football, boys. Try and get them.
Call me crazy.
Crazy.
I think the Bulldogs can snag this one.
If they do, fuck, I'll be so excited.
I'm on the Bulldogs plus 14.5, and I'm on Western Sydney's favourite son who had to leave, who's skipper in the Bulldogs, Stephen Crichton, anytime at $4.75.
Big game, man, for these guys.
This will determine, for me, they don't have to win the game, the Bulldogs, but if they can get some dog about them and go toe-to-toe with the best team in the competition.
16-10, 16-12.
That'd be a great score. If they can, because, you know, I feel like this is going to be a heavily defensive-minded game.
And you can go toe-to-toe with these guys, Penrith. Yeah. They're the kings at this stuff, right? The kings at the grind game. Mm. What do you think's been happening? What do you think these guys have been so much better this year? They're willing to grind.
Yes.
These 7-minute high-intense fucking – like, they go. I think they train just like about 7 or 8 minutes non-stop ball in play. Yeah. Like, just get their heart rates like 200. They're trained for that.
Yeah, mate.
It just hasn't been – and that's why I know Penrith will train like that as well. That's why I know, like, when they're starting to do these high-pressure grinds, they're starting to get other teams because they're not willing to do it.
Yep, and they've had a nice little run of late. They've had a pretty not easy schedule because no game's easy for the Bulldogs, but they've had a generous schedule. They're starting to come into a few tough games and none bigger than Penrith Panthers. So. Yeah.
And you don't think Penrith's just going to come out there and what they did last year, man?
No,
I'm just saying their mentality is like squash these guys that keep stealing our players.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's their mentality. And we just need to get over that, man.
Yep.
Play our best football and see what happens.
Yeah, I think the Bulldogs will make it really hard for them. I could be wrong.
Make it yuck.
Could be wrong.
Because as I said, like they're not Penrith are willing to grind and just grind and grind, and they don't care, mate.
Yeah,
if you're willing to go with them, they'll go. We'll beat you at your own game.
I agree.
Yeah,
but the Bulldogs aren't Rabbitohs from last week. They'll hang in there. They'll hang in there.
Yeah,
and
gritty.
And I think Penrith will probably just get the job done at the end. But, geez, the $5. I might be having a little sneaky play on that. The second game on Friday night is the Eels at home to the Broncos at CommBank Stadium. A couple of big ins and outs for both teams. So Bryce Cartwright returns on the bench. Could see a world in which he goes into the starting lineup for Ryan Madison, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Blaise Talangi replaces Gutho, who's getting his knee drained. Looks like that's been needed to be done for the last 3 years for Gutho. He finally has about 4 or 5 weeks off to get that sorted. As for the Broncos, they've got a couple of big ins. And you were just telling me, I didn't know this either. Josh Rogers, the son of Matt.
Matty Rogers.
He is making his debut in place of Adam Reynolds. And Corey Oates comes onto the wing, the vet for Jesse Arthurs. So the rookie and the vet are replacing.
It's a hard game, man. I don't know what to do.
Mm.
It's at Combank on a Saturday, right?
Yep. Friday night.
Was it Friday? Oh, this is a later game. Right?
Prime time, 8 p.m.
Look at that pack, man. Gillard, Lussick, Paulo, Lane, Madison, Hopgood. Like, come on, man. You've got to be able to compete with
They always play anyone. So much better at Combank, too.
I'm going para.
Yeah.
As much as it kills me.
Head-to-head?
Yeah, head-to-head. Ooh, so head- this is the one. This will make or break their year.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. I think there could be if they lose this game or lose it convincingly against the Broncos, heavy pressure on BA.
But the belief starts going as well.
Yep, I'm with you.
You know, like you go, we're stacked. We played our – I mean, obviously with Gutho out, it's a big loss because he's so great positionally and he's a great leader out there. But, like, I need to see Junior Paulo and Campbell Gillard. I need those three to go out, Payne, Haas, Jensen, and really take them on in the middle.
It's going to be a lot of pressure on Dylan Brown. No Gutho, no Mitch Moses.
Yeah.
So we talk about a lot of people have been talking about like what's next for the Broncos as in next couple of years with no Adam Reynolds. So you got Ezra Mamm and Dylan Brown who have happily
I'm nearly swapping now again.
Who have happily been the Robins for their teams over the last couple of years.
Batman now.
Now, can you two, who's gonna become Batman?
Who's standing up? I mean Josh Rogers is well done, kid.
But Ethan Sanders, young kids.
Ezra Mamm. Walsh, they'll be filthy on what happened last week. Being smacked in front of their own people at Suncorp, and they played bad. Ezra Mamm and Walsh played bad, like compared to their standards, right? They tried to they put the kicks in and all that sort of fancy shit instead of grinding. Fuck, I'm nearly swapping. I'm going with Broncos. I'm
swapping. Before we started the show, Mace said to me, he goes, fuck, we're picking teams, and he goes, I changed my mind three times. I picked my team, then you managed to sway me, and then I ended up going back to my original decision sometimes. You've talked yourself out of that. Don't blame me for that.
Broncos.
What are you doing? I'm on Parramatta. Yeah. I'm on Parramatta plus 9.5. I love the 9.5. I think Parramatta will step up. The difference could be playmakers are missing for both teams and leaders are missing for both teams. Can Blaise Talangi not match Reece Walsh? He's not going to match Reece Walsh. But can he announce himself to the NRL? So he's off contract now. I've got him as my.
As well.
I've got him as my.
He's going to have he's going to have a man of the match performance. He's going to get $1 million a year.
Blaise Talangi anytime, $3.10. Eels plus 9.5. That's my bet. What are you doing now? Have you finished?
Well, stay on the Bronx.
Stay Broncos. Yeah, all right. Sweet. For people playing.
Make it fair.
All right, mate. Going to Saturday. The first game is at Tamworth. Scully Park. Ooh. West Tigers versus the Knights.
I played out there.
It's not going to be a game that you're going to be super excited, but I think it'll be really competitive. Yeah. Two teams that with the Tigers that have been competitive without getting the job done. Mm. And the Knights have been they're looking for three in a row without Kalen. So
nice.
For the Tigers, Stafford Tyra returns, which sees Brent Naden shift to the wing. And Jaden Sullivan is the new name in the team for Aiden Caesar. Appy Carousel missed last week, but he returns the skipper. As for the Knights, couple of big ins. Tyson Frizzell and Jacob Saifidi have both been named.
That's big.
With Frizz in particular, he likely to spend time in the middle, as I suggested last week. So I can see a world in which Frizz starts right, Kai Pierce-Paul starts left. Maybe at the 25-minute mark, they bring on Dylan Lucas and Frizz goes into the middle.
Yeah.
You think
he's easily a middle. Yep. He can defend anywhere. Yep. He's a footballer.
As for the tab, they have the odds – $2.20 underdogs. Well, it's not really a home ground advantage, is it?
No,
Tamworth, it's actually more. Tamworth is Newcastle Hunter territory, isn't it? $1.67. Is Tamworth north of Central Coast? Am I?
It's northwest. Yeah.
Northwest, yeah. Anyway, the line is plus 2.5. Knights or Tigers, mate? It's a coin flip.
Knights, I think. I've seen enough of the Tigers to go, all right, they're going to be competitive, but they're not going to be like beaten most good teams. I think Newcastle's a good team.
Yep.
You know, without KP, they've really just, travelled along all right. They won two in a row. Like Jackson Hastings seems like he's found his feet. Tyson Gamble, they've got a really good balance out there. Armstrong, everyone's found their role and they know they have to go up every game.
Mm.
So I think, I don't want to see more of Leo Thompson, man. I need to see that form from last year. He needs to really take this shit personal. Daniel Saifidi's back.
Jacob's back.
Good.
Daniel played last week. Jacob's back. Yep.
I'd still mix those blokes up. Yep. They could be sitting right there.
Yeah, easy.
Daniel.
Yeah. I seen him. I was in Byron one year with him and kept on.
The same.
You know, when you walk the streets and you keep running, like Bali and you keep running.
I didn't know who was BMOS and JMOS until about 3 years ago.
Now I can
3 years ago, I didn't know who they are now. Now I know.
Yeah.
Because like B-Moz looks a bit more stressed because he's in coaching.
Nah, J-Moz has put on a little bit. He's enjoying retirement. Yeah, and B-Moz is still training at Roosters and part of the system.
When they were fucking exactly the same.
Knights. I'm going Tigers, mate. They've been ripping in. They've been working hard. They haven't got a result. I'm looking for a big game. No Aiden Caesar. So I think Lachlan Galvin takes the ball even more than what he's been taking with Aiden Caesar.
50-50 this game, mate.
Yeah, for sure. It's a coin flip. Tigers plus 2.5 for me. Lachlan Galvin anytime at $4. I think the young kid is due to for his first try.
Jack Hetherington got dropped. Weird. Yeah, that's for Dylan Lucas, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But Brody Jones, they kept Brody Jones in front of him. That's weird. I know he does a job, Brody, but I'm thinking Jack's a little bit more intimidating. And
but Luke, he also loses his shit.
That's still hilarious.
All right, the Dragons versus Rabbitohs is the second game on Saturday. That is at Nestrada Jubilee Stadium at 5:30 p.m. Luciano Lelea is firming to join the bench in place of Ben Mutters Marcilla. Zach Lomax goes back to the wing because Moses Sully is back from his HIA from the Roosters game. As for the Rabbitohs, Alex Johnson has been named in the reserves. A couple other big ins. Obviously, Trell Mitt is back, which sees him go straight to fullback because Dry Gray also got injured and did his ankle in the last game. Saliva Havili has been named to start at lock in place of Cam Murray, but the mail is Talas Duncan could be starting.
I'll be starting Talas Duncan. Mm. I like him.
Havili's a good 14.
Yeah, yep. But I like Duncan. He's the future of their club, man. He hits hard. He's a good ball player.
Good opportunity for him.
Really good opportunity.
He had a rough start to the start of the year.
I think everyone did at that club.
Yeah, for sure.
So no one's, I think, it's going to be a hard game to pick, man.
Yeah, the Dragons are $1.48. Souths are $2.65. The game is at Nestrada Jubilee, so Cogra.
Yeah. I'm going to St. George, eh?
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think, right now, they couldn't be any lower South at the moment. So you got to get them while they're down. And St. George aren't much better. Not much better, but they're just not as badly done as South at the moment.
You know what I wouldn't line a market for? I could see a world in which both teams click and absolutely hammer it.
Yeah.
Like I can see Rabbitohs just for whatever reason just coming out, all the pressure they've been under, pumping the Dragons 13
they've
plus.
Got that. That's what's scary about the Rabbits.
But I can see the Dragons winning 13 plus as well. I don't really see a close game in this game.
I look at the forward packs, I'm like, and the back fives. And that sways me to St. George.
Same.
And then I look at the halves and I've got Ben Hunt. And then you got Cody on their side. And then they've got Dion Taupa.
Yeah, he's making his debut.
Yeah, and Flanagan, right? Yep. I just think they've got a little bit more to give. All right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm there. Yeah.
And I think the...
No 13 pluses or anything. I don't care. I don't know what this game's going to give me. There's a lot of 50-50s in this fucking whole round. It's doing my head in.
You don't think a 13-plus either way? No. I do.
It could.
I think the Dragons have beat them 13-plus.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think the forward pack in particular have been a lot more consistent for the Dragons. I think they're going to punch them through the middle.
Our Jaden Sewer needs some big games. Jairo needs some big games.
Jaden Sewer, $3 anytime try scorer. Dragons minus 6.5. Jaden Sewer, an ex-Rabbitoh. He'd love to get one back on his old team.
He's got Jairo there. Don't think for a second Jairo's not in contention for...
Yeah, Jairo's been banged up.
He's an origin player. He's banged up, but I'm just saying. Jaden Sewell wants that 17. He needs to get over him.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
You know what I mean? He's in my 17. Me particularly, from New South Wales, I don't want Jaden Sewell in the team because he's got a bit of X factor in him. And he's got that, and I think they'll play him in the middle, and he's got that fucking hit, and he's sitting on an edge, right, and he's still putting hits on. Imagine him in the middle. He's pumping everyone.
You know who Jaden Sewell is? He's Matt Ruhr. Of back in the day. Do you reckon he's got a better...
fuck Matt Ruhr.
Ruhr and Sewer?
I remember Matty Ruhr in 99. So I hadn't played first grade yet. Matty Ruhr was... He was that dude, 98, 99. Yeah. He went on that run. He was fucking pumping it. Then he went away for 3 years on his little path, I think.
Did you just have some time away? I don't really want to say that.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not too sure if it was.
Went on a little bit of a journey and then he come back, but it was too late.
Yeah.
Game, we were those dudes and he disappeared, but we didn't play against prime Matt Ruhr. I was like,
oh, you missed prime Matt Ruhr.
Well, 99, 2000, I debuted in 2000, he left.
Yeah.
2000, 2001, by the time 2003 or 4 come along, I was already there.
He went on his mission.
Yeah. He went on a mission. Yeah, and I was thank God. All right. He's taking souls.
Jaden Sewer takes souls as well. I like him. The Ewers taking souls.
Ewers.
We've got a good one, mate. The Sharks, 7:30 p.m. are going down to Amy Park to take on the Storm, and they get him at a good time. So the youngster, Sua Falongo, it looks like he's good to go. He's been named to replace Papi at fullback. Tui Kamakamitha has also been included in the wider reserves and could make his return at the expense of Joe Chan or Alec McDonald. That's a tough decision for him, actually. I think Joe Chan will probably miss out. As for the Sharks, no changes. Teague Wilton is good to go.
What are we thinking here? I think is a world where that Sua Falongo just carves up and he makes that little statement like, hey, just because Pappy's out doesn't mean this season's over.
This is a legit coin flip. Yeah. $1.90, $1.90. They cannot split these two teams, Maze. I can. I'm on the Sharks.
Yeah, I'm thinking towards the Sharks because they're that team this year. They're not going to go down there and just be like, oh, shit, it's at Amy Park. We're going to get blown out because Melbourne's Melbourne.
I don't think they've had a great record the last couple of years.
No, but I think all that shit that they just throw out the window. New team.
Yeah, if you do want to play the Melbourne Storm down there, you'd love to not have Pappy and Jerome Hughes.
Yeah, that's why I'm leaning towards Cronulla.
I am going Cronulla, mate. I'll take the points, though. I'll take the +1.5, which is down to $1.80 now. Mm. So I think a lot of people will...
I think this might be a 13-plus game.
Us swaying that way. Oh, yeah, Sharks like 13-plus?
Yeah. I reckon they're going to put one on. I reckon they'll put the whole comp on show. On notice, yeah.
Yep,
and just go, right, we can get rid of the big dogs.
And I've got Sione Katoa.
I'm not impressed with Melbourne last week, man. I know they had a few injuries and stuff, but I thought they would have blown them out, especially with Money's 200th and everything like that, and Welsh's 150th.
Apart from the...
Could be totally wrong.
What was the game? What was the game the week before? Who did they blow out the week before? Oh, the Rabbitohs. Everyone's blowing the Rabbitohs out. So that doesn't matter. But they haven't blown anyone out apart from that. Yeah, I'm on the Sharks, mate. 13-plus. I don't know. I think
not a flogging. Like, could be 22-6, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing like 50, nothing in the 50s.
All right. This one's going to be a cracker. I reckon.
This is the game of the round.
Roosters versus Warriors Sunday at Allianz Stadium, 2 p.m. And I've got highlighted.
Sorry, how is this not the 4 o'clock game? Is it 2 o'clock game?
2 o'clock game.
Come on.
Do you think that matters now? The prime time, 2 to 4.
I don't know. I'd just rather play at 4.
Yeah, same. I would.
2 o'clock. You're up at like. And you get up at 11. You want to sleep in. Like you don't get any chance. You're up at. You got to be at the game at what? Fuck. 11 o'clock. At 12. Yeah, 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. 11:30. 12.
12:30 minimum.
Yeah, 12:30 minimum.
And then I'd probably get there at 12. I know. I used to like getting there a couple of hours before just so I could chill out a little bit more. Casey Badger, referee for this game, which I highlighted because of, the pressure. I'm really intrigued to see what her performance is like this week. I thought she was rough last week.
Yeah.
And this is a pressure cooker. The Roosters, Robbo's been complaining out of sight this year about the refereeing and what comes with the pressure of reffing a Roosters game, and also the Warriors. No one complains more about refereeing than Warriors fans. Keep an eye on that. As for the Roosters, 4 huge inclusions. Daniel Tupou, OG. Jared Rhea Hargraves, OG. Victor Radley, mid-OG. Are all returning from injury. And Spencer Lenu is back from his suspension.
Yeah, boy.
As for the...
Fuck, that's taken a while just for us. Imagine him.
Oh,
that's been a while, man.
It feels like...
Eight weeks.
Anyway, so with Victor Radley returning, it sees Connor Watson move back to the bench, who was really good last week. As for the Warriors, Sean Johnson has been managing an Achilles injury. And I guess you can sort of see why they're having dramas this year, the Warriors.
They're just not on the same page, man.
Jazz Tavunga returns. Kurt Capewell will miss this week with Mitch Barnett moving from the middle to the edge.
When they've been nailing all those moves on that right edge, everybody's been doing their job. Like, you know, with Nikora, like he'd in and out and they'd be even on the guy. They've been so off.
Yeah.
And defenses have just been like coming up, checking and going out the back. That's why they're solving all those problems.
Good point.
You know, like slowed it down. I was like, wow, these guys are so far off the pace. Everyone before, like last year when they were nailing all these plays to the right, in and out when that double lead off
Shawnee.
SJ, you could hit both of those guys. Yep. Double lead, the guy out the back with Fanua Blake, it's very telegraphed. I'm not sure whether it's a SJ not digging in hard enough or these guys well off the pace.
I think it could something be. Something to do with that. I think it could be because of training reps they're potentially not getting in. If Shawnee's been managing this injury, maybe he hasn't been doing as many reps training, and which is.
Seems like that. So the timing off the 7 has been awful. Even when they're going back to the left, they're doing double shape at the post, it's still off. defenses have been, you can see it coming, man. Like, it's not that hard for middles. You've got a good middles there, which the Roosters do. Those shapes, if they're not executed at a fucking, at a 10 out of 10, you get defended against.
This has all the recipes for a Roosters blowout.
Yeah.
Roosters are $1.27. The Warriors are $3.80. Something tells me this is going to be a tricky game.
This will be, because the Warriors aren't the Warriors of old, but we'll see.
Mm. Yeah. The line's 11.5. Can you see the Roosters blowing them out 13 yeah, plus?
100%.
Yeah.
I can see this 2 o'clock game over here.
I think it's going to be tricky. I'm on the Warriors plus 11.5, and give me Dallin Watson as a Lesniak anytime.
I think even if they do execute at a high level, right, on that right side, I think a lot of players are onto those plays.
Mm.
A lot of the edges of – they sit there and – trust me, people, they sit there in the edge videos and just nonstop looking at cues, inside pressure to SJ, making play earlier. He's the key.
Teams have been defending.
He is the key. Yeah. You've got to get at him. And who does that best? The Roosters, man, their middle are so fucking – they're so good at that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Look what they did to Brisbane last week. Brisbane absolutely torched the Tigers 34-0 in the first half off the same sort of plays. Who shuts them down?
Mm.
Roosters. Their edges are so good. They work so good together. And this is what they're going to try and do again, the Warriors. And I think the Roosters will shut them down. It'll be tighter than you think, but I think it'll blow out at the end.
Okay. All right, the last game is the Titans versus Cowboys at CBus Super Stadium, 4 p.m.
Tough watch.
Prime time for a Sunday. Chris Randall has been named at 5'8 to replace Hunter Boyd. Mo Fotowaker is back from concussion, so he will start, which is a boost for Gold Coast. As for the Cowboys, Chad Townsend will be monitored, but he looks like he'll be right to go. Hyam Lukey spends another week on the bench to start the game. With new signing Braden Burns, he could be named as he's in the reserves.
Yeah, Burnsy.
And could come in the side for Viliami Vailea. Mace.
Oh, surely the Cowboys. Come on.
The Titans are $2.20 underdogs at home. The Cowboys are $1.67. The line is 2.5. Mace, you're on the Cowboys, are you?
Got to. I don't care where it is, what time it is. They just have to win.
Have to win.
They have to win. What are they coming? So I'm looking at the ladder.
I've given up on the Cowboys. Yeah. I'm on Titans plus 2.5.
They're still coming 10. They've got to win. They just need to win.
This is the give up game for me. So I gave up on the Titans.
Are you done with them?
Last year, right? And because I just, they had all this talent, they just didn't live
Let's talk
up
about
to
it next week if we just give up after round 10.
So whoever was going to be the underdogs in this game is who I wanted to be on. So the underdogs are Titans. I'd given up on the Cowboys this year. So whoever they are, if I can take points, I'm taking points.
Okay.
Because I don't trust either team. But there's one guy I do trust, and it's AJ Brimson, $2.30.
Alejandro.
He's the only guy I trust. I trust Kieran. I trust Brimson. And I probably trust that Jeremiah Nanai is going to score a try. That's it. No one else I trust in this game.
Yeah, it's hard. It'll be a tough watch. It'll be the last game.
It'll be entertaining. Who you going, did you say?
Cowboys.
Reluctantly?
Oh, yeah. No confidence. I've got zero confidence coming into any game.
Yeah.
Any of these games. It's a hard round to pick.
As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this game. If you're gambling on specifically the Titans and Cowboys game,
yeah.
What are you really gambling with? Then free and confidential support. Call 1-800-858-858. Mace, enjoy round 10. I'm looking forward to it despite that last game. And we'll see you on Monday for review.
See you guys.